Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, in our consideration of the kingdom and just looking back at different things that we've considered, that there is a kingdom, the Lord has a kingdom, referred to in the Scriptures, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, I believe the kingdom of Christ. And so we've been taking a look at and considering that kingdom. We talked about the message or the gospel of that kingdom, the who of the kingdom that are presently upon this earth, and even other who's, if you will. I know it's bad English, but that are involved with the kingdom, where the kingdom is heading and how it's being manifested over time here upon this earth, and how the Lord Jesus Christ preached often that the kingdom has come unto you, it's come unto us. And then we preached last time about seeking and finding the kingdom and what the Scripture says about that. That last message brought us to this chapter, where there's much that's told here about the kingdom, a couple different aspects of it. And so what we want to look at this morning and focus in here in verse number 10 of Matthew chapter 13, let's read this, and this will give us a place to jump off in to the message this morning and consider about some other things about the kingdom and heading towards an aspect of it that I've really been looking forward to about the Lord telling us what the kingdom's like, okay, so we can understand about it. We got a glimpse of that last time. Here in Matthew chapter 13, verse number 10, "And the disciples came and said unto him," unto Jesus, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" Okay, we'll take a look at who the them is here in a second. "He answered and said unto them," listen, "he said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." Whoa. Wow. That's a blessing. And Lord, who's he speaking to? He's speaking to his church. Okay. There's a blessing that is here, that's a part of being in the Lord's church. He's speaking to his disciples, the apostles that are there. They ask this question of the Lord, and he tells them, it's been given unto you to understand mysteries, to understand these mysteries, okay? And the mysteries about the Word of God and in the Word of God and the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. It's not that it's mystic, okay? Understand the difference in that. But it's not, it's the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven is such that when information about it passes by men, women, and boys and girls in this life, not everybody gets it, not everybody hears it, not everybody sees it or comprehends it or receives it. And it's a blessing that the Lord has given us in his church to be able to have some glimpses and understanding of these mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. I tell you what, brothers and sisters, rejoice because of it. Because men, women, boys, and girls that have passed upon this earth, there's been many, many, many that never heard them and never understood them. But may God help us to rejoice in that he's blessed us with some of it. Another thing relative to this is that the blessing of our country, our age, this day that we live in, this account that we're going to take a look at this morning, it's there plainly in the Scripture. That was given to the multitudes that we'll take a look at. And then the explanation that the Lord gave about the telling about the mystery unto his disciples. And that's written down for men, women, boys, and girls to be able to read it freely. The Lord is not working in this day as he worked in that day where he preached to this multitude. And then the disciples came over here and asked him about it. And he told them, you got the whole account. And that's a blessing. You that are here and not saved, you have been exposed and are being exposed to the wonderful, true, solid, eternal Word of God. You're being exposed to it. You've been given the mystery and you've been told the understanding of the mystery. I tell you, hear the Word of the Lord. Hear it. Hear it. And we pray that the Lord will help you and bless you in it. Because it is given, verse 11, unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day. Lord, you're so good to us. We thank you that you've made a day that we can meet together as your people, as your church, to worship you. And Lord, we thank you for the way that you've blessed in the day. And the Word of God that's been opened unto us already. And Lord, the being able to pray to you and to sing praises unto your name. And Lord, to be able to meet together with our brothers and sisters in Christ to worship you. Help us, Lord, to cherish this and help us to cherish what you've done for us. Lord, help us to value our church membership and how you've placed us, fitly joined us together in Olmsted Baptist Church, Lord, for your honor and your glory. Help us, Lord, to value that. And Lord, we thank you for doing that in us. We pray, Father, for those that are here this morning and not saved. Lord, that this might be the day of their salvation. Lord, that you might reveal yourself unto them and show them your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, precious to the salvation of their souls. Lord, reveal the mysteries of your kingdom unto them. And Lord, just to open their understanding, open their heart, open their ears, that they might hear, they might see, and they might comprehend. Lord, the wonderful, blessed salvation through Jesus Christ and the wonderful things that you've done in establishing your kingdom. Help now, we pray and bless. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Here at the beginning of this chapter, let's read. The same day, verse number 1, Matthew 13, the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. So here Jesus is there by the seashore. A bunch of people come to him. And when we take a look and do a little mental evaluation of the multitude, who's in that multitude? Well, the Lord is there, obviously, and his disciples are there with him. Amongst the disciples would be the apostles, right? And then we see also those that are there, just the people that have come from the countryside in that region, maybe very near to where the Lord is at there along the seaside or there along the shore, and people that live in that area. Then there's maybe those people that have come from further away. They've maybe been traveling with the Lord. They've been following along with the Lord. And maybe there's folks even there from as far away as Judea, down south, that have heard about this one up in Galilee preaching. And then there amongst the multitudes, you also have the religious leaders of the day, right? The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the rabbis that would be there at the synagogues in the area. They would come to hear and maybe to find out what this fellow is all about, or to try to catch this man that preaches so wonderfully, that is, that they perceive to be a threat unto them, to catch him in his words. So you got those fellows. Maybe you have the lawyers there and the scribes, the ones that are writing over the copies of the Word of God, and different ones that are there. And maybe in that great multitude you would also have, as the government of the day, the civil government of the day being that of the Roman Empire, when a big old multitude and crowd gets together, they want to find out what's going on, right? Some ruckus stirring up over there. We've got another rebel rouser going to start an insurrection or whatever. And so you would maybe have representatives or soldiers of the Roman government that would be there finding out what's going on. A lot of people, a lot of different people and a lot of different purposes there in the great multitudes that engage the Lord. This multitude is so great that the Lord got in a ship, in a boat, and pushed out from the edge of the water there. And as the multitude stood on the shore, in verse number 3, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying. So now the Lord is going to generally teach and generally preach to the people. What is it that he says? All kinds of different folks there. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. People say, well, I understand that. Yeah, that happens. Some farmers that are there, yeah, that happens. We put in our garden this year. I was so thankful and so happy. I trust it wasn't in a shameful way. I was proud of getting the garden in early this year. Brother Ron Crisp, he comes along for our spring revival, and he tells about these birds that he's seen in the past in his garden that would come, and when a little sprout is up, and you know, like maybe the corn's come up a little bit, they'd come and they'd get that sprout and they'd just lay it down there on the dirt. They'd lay it down on the dirt. They'd lay it down. And you know what? That's what they did to our garden. Half of our corn got plucked up and laid out on the dirt after it sprouted up a couple inches. And so that people understand this, some of this seed, verse 5, fell on stony places where they had not much earth. Maybe they're by on the roadside, they're by the wayside, right? And then there's that place where there's rocks. Maybe in this field that's been prepared by this one that sowed it, as it happens often, and even in this countryside in days gone by, they would come to a place and the farmers would seek to till it and seek to plow it. And what do they do with the rocks? If it's good ground and they want to work it and grow a crop on it, they'll take those rocks and put them over here in a pile, right? Kentucky is noted for farmers taking those rocks and even building fences out of them. Right? We got houses around here that they had so many rocks in the area that they would build a fence out of it. And so some of the seed falls over there where those stones are collected, where they had not much earth, verse 5, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. Verse 6, and when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And verse 7, and some fell among thorns. Yeah, over there beyond the rocks or in the hedgerow or that, there's those thorns and briars that grow up. Maybe there's some blackberries over there that are growing in there, or just weeds, just plain old weeds that are growing there. Some of that seed, as that sower goes forth to sow, some of that seed, it goes out there on the road and goes over there on the stones, and his the sower's attempt and purpose to get the field sown, some of that seed even goes over into the weeds and into the thorns. It goes over into those rough areas where that stuff that's growing wild is at. And the thorns sprung up and choked what grew from the seeds. But verse number 8, but other fell into good ground, the prepared ground, the tilled ground, maybe the fertilized ground, right? That's what the sower was attempting to cover, right? In this parable that the Lord's given, the sower doesn't go out to try to grow some crop in the woods, does he? But he's looking to broadcast on that field, on that field. And he's liberal with the seed to sow it on that field. Some of the seed, it fell on the good ground. And what did it say? What did the Lord say? And brought forth fruit, some in hundredfold. One seed brought forth 100. Do you ever plant expecting just to get one back? No, every stalk that grew up, and I was thankful for what did survive the birds and their plucking routine. I was glad that those stalks of corn that grew up had one or two or three ears, and each of those ears had a whole lot of kernels of corn on it. Pardon me, and when it came in, it was good. Some bore 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. But there was always a great multiple that came from those seeds that were sown. That's what the Lord tells them. A great multitude's come. They've gathered themselves into the Lord. And he tells them this. Verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Why do you do that? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them in it is not given. To them, to that multitude, at that time, the Lord's plan and purpose was just to broadcast that word, to spread that word. The disciples come and ask the Lord about it. He said, why do you do that? He says, well, because it's not given to them. It's not given to them at this time, indeed, for sure. For whosoever hath, verse number 12, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. You know, this is alluding to and speaking about the providence and sovereignty of the Lord. It's telling about that. Look how it is with the one that is saved. The sinner that is saved and is saved by God Almighty through the operation and working of God, does it get worse for us or does it get better? It just keeps getting better and better and better. All the way to being a king and a priest. All the way to being a joint heir with Christ. All the way to live for eternity in a body like Jesus Christ forever. It just gets better and better and better, doesn't it? It's been given unto us faith to believe and repentance of our sins and the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And when that happens, It just gets better and better and better. Look at the blessing that the Lord, in His greatness and His love and His care for us, has blessed us to be able to not only be saved, but to put us in His church. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to be that. There are those who are saved and have been saved the world over that haven't experienced this blessing. Who the Lord saves, He just continues to bless and give unto. But it says here, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that he hath. I want you to look over in Luke chapter 8 real quick. Look how the Lord words it here in this account, in Luke's account of the same situation. In Luke chapter 8, verse number 18, I've always found this interesting, and it conveys a greater point about what the Lord's saying here. In Luke chapter 8, verse number 18, take heed therefore how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given. Right? We saw that principle over there in Matthew. And whosoever hath not, listen, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. We're all born into this world of our mother and from our parents. We're given life. We're given and helped in general with provision and sustenance from our parents, and we grow, and then we get of an age that we can work, we marry, we have children, have family, we gain wealth, the Lord blesses us with ability, He blesses us with continued life. And then the soul that has gone through the whole process of life really seems that they really got a grip on life and have all the blessings that this world can offer. The number one desire of man is to, you know, get a job, have a family, work 30 years, retire, and just enjoy himself till his days run out. But when he dies without the Lord Jesus Christ, it's found out that he looked like he had all that, but because of death, he really didn't, did he? Because he sure didn't hang on to it. He seemed like he had it. And that sinner without Christ that goes into the lake of fire, what is going on in hell in the lake of fire? Nothing but eternal death. Even life. Yes, the soul does live forever, but in a continual, eternal state of dying, of torment, of grief. And what he seemed to have even in the life of his body, even that's been taken away. Boy, that's a contrast, isn't it? It is indeed. And he says here, he says, verse number 12, back in Matthew 13, for whosoever hath, him shall be given. Salvation. From salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ, it just gets better and better. And then he shall have more abundance. Right. Because see, the Lord's always, he's not just looking at this life, he's looking at eternal. He's looking at the eternal perspective, right? And we are promised abundance, aren't we? A mansion? I've never lived in a mansion. I've maybe visited a couple mansions. Had to pay a fee to visit some of them, most of them. But we've got a mansion, right? The Lord said he went to prepare a place. And because he went to prepare it, he'll come back for us, right? He says he'll give more abundance. But whosoever hath not, whoever does not have the salvation of the soul, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Or, as Luke said, seemeth to have. Verse number 13, therefore speak unto them in parables, because they seeing, see not. They hear, they see it. Oh, okay, seed. Yeah, seed going on the ground and you're sowing it around and it goes in those places. Okay, what's the point? They don't see it. And hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand with the heart. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Are you here and you're not saved? I tell you what, you need to see. You need to hear. You desperately need to understand. It is imperative that you be converted. And we're talking about transactions and things that you cannot accomplish yourself. You need the Lord. You need the Lord. You need to receive Him and what He says, because that's the very need of your soul. Because you know what? If you die in the shape that you're in and you pass out of this life without the Lord as Savior, even what you seem to have is going to be taken away. And so the Lord goes on here in verse number 15, continuing on. For this people, we'll read again, this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, and speaking about sinners, and speaking also about the nation of Israel, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Verse number 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, listen, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. I tell you what, brothers and sisters, this is grace. This is grace. Prophets wanted to understand what they wrote, but it just wasn't given to them to understand. They were used of the Lord and moved upon by the Lord and blessed by the Lord to be used that way, to bring that word on down to us. But they didn't understand how it all fit together. We talked about Isaiah recently, Wednesday night. No doubt, I wonder if the prophets that wrote, when they read again what they had written, or the scribes would then take it to be able to make copies of it, that they wondered, what does this mean? I know Isaiah, and I see maybe part of that in him, but this is not talking about Isaiah as an example. And so, the Lord tells a great, wonderful thing here. He says, we are blessed indeed for that we see and that we hear and we comprehend. Many prophets, many righteous men have desired to hear and see these things, but it was not given to them, but it has been blessed. We have been blessed by it. Verse 18, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. The Lord says, here's what I'm talking about. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, there's that message that we looked about, the gospel, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Nothing ever grew. Word of God comes, and he says, uh-huh. Doesn't get it. Doesn't understand, have a clue in the world what was talking about, just like we were, right? There's a time that we were that way, in a sense. And you know what it says there? The wicked one, Satan, comes along. The bird comes along and snatches it out of their heart. It needs to be a testimony to us as the Lord's church to keep on sowing that seed. We need to sow that seed. We need to sow that seed. We need to be not guilty of a dearth of seed here in this region and community. We need to be guilty of sowing that seed. These are these that are by the wayside over there on the road. Verse number 20, but he that received the seed into stony places, over there where the rocks are piled up and some of the seed can get down in there, or maybe it's rained and the mud splashed up on the rocks, right, and collected in some of those rocks, and a seed landed there and the water was right, just like we saw in East St. Louis when we went to Missouri here a couple weeks ago. We saw trees growing on the top of a four-story building in East St. Louis. Why? because all the crud that's rained down on top of that roof and going off in the gutters and the corners, some bird flew around there and dropped those seeds for those trees, and now there's 20-foot trees on the top of the building I'm thinking about there in East St. Louis. Yeah, there in those rocks, that seed fell, and there's a little bit of dirt there and got it sprouted up and started. What's the Lord say? But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word and when anon with joy receiveth it. Say, yeah, that's a good word. That's great. I like it. Yet hath he not root in himself, endureth for a while. Listen, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. I tell you what, be warned. Is the word of God important to you? We got a little bit of a trouble or a need for a stand for what the word of God says. Said, I'm going to get away from that till that cools down. We need to stand and be counted for what the word of God says. There's a little bit of tribulation. There's a little bit of heat that comes on because of standing for the truth of God's word. Are we such that backs away? Are we such that, as the Lord tells us, to having done all to stand in the truth? Receives the word with anon, with joy, likes the message of it, but when there comes pressure, dureth for a while, but when there's tribulation or persecution because of the word, by and by he is offended. Said, nah, it's not worth that. I'm not that convicted or convinced that that's what Jesus can do for me. I'm not looking for trouble. I'm looking for ease. I tell you what, evaluate the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. We claim the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Evaluate His life because, brothers and sisters, if we stand and walk with the Lord, that's what we're in for. Amen? That's what we're in for and what the Lord said is if they did it to the master. Is it any surprise that they would do it to the servants? If they had that opinion of the master, what would prevent them from having that opinion of the servants? None at all. Yet he hath no root in himself, verse 21, dureth for a while, but when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, by and by is offended. And he also that received the seed among the thorns, over there beyond the rocks, and that region and that part of the field that's not tilled, it's just wild over there. The broadleaf comes up, the thorns come up, the trees come up, everything's growing over there. He that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. That where the seed landed and it grew, but it couldn't outgrow all the pressures of life. When the word cost the job, when the word and the order of the family said, well, we can't have this because mama needs to stay home and work, to stay home and work in the home. Because of wanting the stuff of the world, say, no, I've only got my one shot in this life and I better make good of it. We're going to have to chase after what the world says and what we want because we're getting older fast and our time's running out. And what happens? The world just comes in and grows up around and entangles it, entangles them. And what's it say? No fruit. There's no fruit. But then it goes on and says, in verse 23, but he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. Remember how it was in this chapter last week? Remember the merchant man looking for pearls? And when he found the pearl, nothing else mattered, did it? Because he everything he had, he took it and he sold it and he collected his money so he could buy that pearl. Nothing else mattered. See, and that's the reason that is in this chapter. And in that, it's this one that's received this seed into good ground, the tillage of the Lord, the conviction of the Lord of sin, the need of the soul of salvation through Christ, the need of the soul that the soul without Christ is doomed and is damned and will die eternally. There's a need that's seen of everlasting life. If I'm going to live, I'll only live through Christ. And when I look at Christ and I look at what He's done for me, and I see my sin and my wickedness and how I, in and of myself, all I did was hate Him. But yet He loved me enough to give Himself for me. What else matters? Amen? What else matters than having Christ? The man that found the treasure in the field. Amen? He sold all that he had so he could buy that field for that priceless treasure. He gave it all. What else matters? What else matters? So that seed has fallen on the good ground, heareth the word and understandeth it. Oh, you that are here and not saved, this is what we pray for you. We preach to you Christ. We preach to you about your need of salvation. We preach to you about you need forgiveness of your sins. You need one that can take care of that debt of sin for you that you cannot take care of. You need everlasting life because you're dying. You're dying physically and you're dead spiritually and you need rescue. Oh, I pray that you would hear and that you would understand that the Lord would work in you to that end. That which receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, bringing forth some 100, some 60, some 30. Here now in verse number 24, another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like. What has been going on here, and what the Lord has told here in verse number, in this parable, and the giving it to the people, and then the explanation to the disciples, is about the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Given an example, showing them how it is. It's given to the people, one thing, and then the explanation. The disciples had to ask too, didn't they? They didn't just intuitively know what the meaning was. We that are saved, we that have been saved by the Lord, we can ask, can't we? We can ask the Lord and pray the Lord would open our understanding to the Scriptures, right? As it says in the Scriptures that the Lord Jesus Christ did indeed open their understanding, even the disciples' understanding, to the Word. This seed that we sow, what is it? I want you to turn to Acts chapter 20. There's a lot of seed for us to sow, and this Old Testament Scripture talks about the seed being in the barn, and we need to tell it. But here in Acts chapter 20, may the Lord help us as individual children and as a church that we be sowing this seed indeed. In Acts chapter 20, verse number 21, to you that are here and not saved, listen what the Word of God says. Listen what the Apostle Paul, after being called of the Lord to salvation and to the ministry that the Lord had called him to, in verse number 21 of Acts 20, listen, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, to all men, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be spreading that seed, brothers and sisters. Lost sinner friend, that's the seed that you need to receive and to hear and believe and trust in it. We that are saved, may the Lord help us to understand that the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven have been revealed unto us. And we can pray and seek the Lord's face as the disciples did and as the Lord's blessed and shows there in Luke how the Lord did open the church's understanding to the Word of God. He'll do that for us today. He'll do that to us, for us today with these mysteries. You know what we need to do? We need to desire it. We need to pursue it and ensue it. Because you know what? As the Lord's children, we can just kick back, cross our legs, and take it easy, can't we? But may the Lord help us to be into that book. May the Lord be pleased to open up and show us these mysteries. May the Lord help us and give us strength and courage and ability and wherewithal to sow that seed. And you know what the Lord's promised? He'll give the increase He wants. He will, won't He? It'll accomplish the work and ministry of the Lord when we sow it. When we sow it. We've been successful when we've sowed it. We've been successful when we've told what the Word of God says. It's the Lord that will give the increase. May the Lord help us in that. Mysteries of the Kingdom. And Lord willing, next Sunday or in the next message that we have on Sunday morning, we'll take a look at what the kingdom is like. We'll have different aspects of the kingdom that the Lord's going to show to us and reveal to us in that.